Good morning. Last week, Bill Hayes mentioned in his sermon about watching the Masters and sort of pulling for this guy up on the screen, Jordan Spieth. Jordan, I personally like him. You know, I like to see him have success on the golf course because he is a guy that wears his emotions on his sleeve. And for the most part, he seems like a pretty nice guy. Even when he messes up, you don't, and people can read lips and stuff when you see people on TV. You don't see him saying anything that they have to cloud over or anything like that whenever he messes up. And unfortunately for Jordan, last week he had a pretty big mess up. He had quite the lead going into the final, like five or six holes at the Masters, which is a prestigious golf tournament. And this happened. Poor Jordan. I mean, if you don't play golf, putting a ball into the water is not something you want to do because it costs you that shot, it costs you a penalty stroke, and then you have to hit another shot. And Jordan, he had a nice, comfortable five-stroke lead. He was going to get his second green jacket, and unfortunately, that all fell apart. And one of those darn foreigners, Martha, won the Englishman, Willett, came back, and he actually played really well, and he deserved to win because he had a really good round. But Jordan Spieth, a lot of people watched how he reacted to that. And, you know, when I go out and play golf and I put one in the drink, there's like three people that see me do it. And I can't imagine like millions and millions of people watching me and then putting two in the drink and losing a tournament. But Jordan handled that with class. He didn't throw his club like I've seen people do. He didn't break his club over his knee like I've seen people do on the golf course. He just said, give me another ball. And what else could he do? But that was, people were seeing how Jordan would react to that situation, and how he did told us a lot about his character. Now, Roger, a couple weeks ago, he said, we're going to get back to the basics. And one of the basics of our faith that Roger talked about was fearing God. What I'm going to talk about today was mentioned in the reading about how we are supposed to be imitators of Christ. And I found these two sayings, and they really are true. If someone knows you're a Christian, they are going to see how you react in situations. And the first one, be careful how you live. You might be the only Bible someone ever reads. And the other one person might read a Bible, 99 other people are going to read the Christian. And how we react to situations, how we act, how we talk, can help the kingdom of God, or it can hurt the kingdom of God. As Christians, our goal is to be imitators of Christ. We are supposed to imitate him in action and word in hopes that we glorify our Heavenly Father and bring people to him. So today, we're going to look at how Jesus talked with people. Jesus brought a lot of people to himself and to his Heavenly Father through the conversations he had with them. If you think about the lady at the well, the Samaritan lady at the well, after talking with Jesus, she went back into her village and was and told everybody in the village about him. So there was something about the way he talked with people. He told the apostles, come follow me. Boom, they dropped their nets and came and followed him. So there must have been something that he did in his speech to other people that drew people to him. And we're going to look at some of those characteristics today. Through conversations with Jesus, people learned that he was the Son of God. They learned what our Heavenly Father is like, and he used parables to do that. How we should live our lives. Love God first, love your neighbor. expectations, like Bill Hayes talked about last week, carrying your cross, giving your possessions away, not looking back when you're serving God, but just keeping your eyes on Jesus. How many times did we hear him tell people, your faith has saved you in the Bible? And finally, Jesus also let people know when they had the wrong attitude towards God. He let the Pharisees know, and he let Peter know. And if you remember the story about Peter, Jesus said, I have to go to the cross, I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'm going to rise again. And Peter said, I'm not going to let you die. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking like a man. You're not thinking like God. So Peter got reprimanded because he had the wrong attitude as far as Jesus was concerned about God. We're going to look at three characteristics today. Jesus met people where they were. It was funny. We were doing an interview with the guy who's coming in, Jim Hinton, on a couple weeks ago. And Ashley Evans actually said that that was one of the strengths of our church, that we met people where they were on their walk of faith. Second was, Jesus was upfront with people. He did not condemn, but he did not let people off the hook. Last week for communion, I used the story of the lady that was caught in adultery, and they were ready to stone her, and Jesus saved her life, and he said, you know, I don't condemn you, but you got to quit what you're doing. He didn't let her off the hook, but he said, I'm not going to condemn you. Just leave your life of sin. And finally, our last characteristic, and there's probably more, I just chose these three. Jesus spoke with compassion. So the first characteristic, Jesus met people where they were. One of the best examples was the parables that Jesus used. Throughout the Gospels, he spoke parables to let people know what heaven was like and what their heavenly Father is like. And he used things that were common to the people that they could understand. The lost coin. How many of you have searched for a lost valuable thing and then when you found it, you know, you were excited about that? Or the lost sheep. You know, in the one that I have up here, the parable of the lost son, how many people back then could relate to someone leaving the family, making some bad choices, and then coming back? So he used things that people knew and could relate to. He also let people share their thoughts. And he listened to people. And he listened and let them share their thoughts and beliefs with him. And finally, he knew, and this is probably one of the good things about being God, he knew who he needed to talk to. Like, Zacchaeus, this guy up in a tree. Jesus knew he had to meet him that day because he had a chance to save Zacchaeus and have Zacchaeus change his ways. Or calling Levi, another tax collector. Boy, those tax collectors really got hit hard. Or even that lady at the well. He knew that he had to go up and talk with her. So he knew who he had to talk to. For this portion, we're going to talk, the reading is going to be the healing at the pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic, is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colored colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been there, he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. You know, when Jesus was standing there talking to that guy, he could have scoffed at that guy and said, "You believe that water heals you? Really? You believe that water is really going to heal you up? he could have sort of like gave it to the guy and said, "What are you nuts for thinking that this pool of water is going to heal you up?" But he didn't. He just heard the guy out. He heard the guy's frustrations that I can't get into this pool. Everybody else gets in ahead of me because I can't move. Jesus was listening to him, heard what he said. He didn't judge him. He didn't make fun of him. He said, "Look, you want to get better? Get up and walk." So Jesus listened to that guy, and he listened to his frustrations, and he said, "You know what? That water isn't the way to go. It's me. And I'm going to be the one to help you to walk." And indeed, he did. Application for us. I love this saying: meet people where they are and not where you would like them to be. As a teacher, as a math teacher, this is our big week as far as the state goes, because the PSSA math tests are occurring right now. And if you don't know what those are, it's the state tests where it affects how much funding you get from the state. And also, I get graded now as a teacher, depending upon how well my kids do. So there's a lot at stake for the school and for myself. And I would love all of my kids to be what is called proficient. If you're proficient or advanced, that's really good. If you're basic or below, that's not so good. So I would love to say all my kids are going to be proficient or above. And I would love to have all my kids at that level. But I know that's not where they're at. And, you know, actually, I'm a little bit nervous about about how they're going to do this week on the tests. So I would love to have all these kids going to be proficient, but unfortunately, I know that's not going to happen. And so when I teach them, I have to meet them where they're at. You know, would I love them to be Einsteins? Yeah, but they're not. So, you know, I got to adjust my teaching. And when we talk to other people about our faith, we have to do the same thing. We have to know where they're at in their faith. Have they ever gone to church? Have they ever read the Bible? What is their faith background? Do they have any knowledge of God at all? And we also need to listen to others' thoughts and beliefs. You know, what do they believe? It may be way out there. But we need to listen, because we need to gain their trust first, and that they know that we care about them. You know, we might not want to start out a conversation with an unbeliever saying, "If you don't believe, you're going to hell." True, but probably not the opening line that we want to have, you know, when we do something like that. Might want to say, you know, there's some great scriptures like, you know, if you have burdens in your life, come to me, all you are burden, and I will give you rest. Or just talk about some of the more uplifting scriptures. And as you move along, then you can start to maybe get into some of the heavier stuff. So as Christians, if we start to talk about our faith with someone, we got to know who our audience is. Second characteristic, Jesus was upfront with people. Jesus' goal with everything was to bring people to God. He was always upfront and honest with other people. And Jesus let people know when they were doing wrong, so hopefully they would change their ways. That was his goal. And for this, I'm going to read this passage passages out of John 9. And these passages occurred right after Jesus and healed a man on the Sabbath. Can you believe he actually did that? Healed a man on the Sabbath. But then, back in that day, those days, you know, you weren't supposed to do anything on a Sabbath. Wonder what they did then. Did they just sit there all day on Saturday and not do anything? I don't know. If you can't work or do anything, I don't know what else you would do. But anyway, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were there with him heard him say this and asked him, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Jesus, he really wanted the Pharisees to change their ways. I'm convinced of that. He worked on the Pharisees to try to get them to instead being these law people that brought people down with the law and tried to make themselves look good. He knew if he could get like maybe these religious leaders of the day to change their view, maybe people would start feeling good about being Jewish instead of always worried about, is God going to send down a thunderbolt because I broke law number 500 in this law big book? And Jesus tried to convince them that their hearts were in the wrong place, all so that they could change their ways and help themselves and others get closer to God. I believe people want to know where they stand. And this saying, telling the truth and making someone cry is better than telling a lie and making someone smile. Do you believe that? Yeah. If you're up front with someone, and it might be nasty what you have to say, or unpopular what you have to say, at least that person knows where they stand and they can start to process that. And they can start to make adjustments. If you are lying to a person all the way along, and somehow at the end, it comes out that you are lying to them, there is like no trust at all. At least if they know up front how you stand, they trust you. They may not like it, but they trust you enough that you're going to say, you're going to tell them the truth. And this is something I think we all struggle with. When we know that someone is doing something wrong, and as we're called by the Bible, we need to confront these people about, hey, you're doing something wrong. Because inevitably what's going to happen is you go up to them and you say, you know, you really shouldn't be doing this. And they'll come back and say, well, I know what you do, and you shouldn't be doing that. And you come into this back and forth like, you know, you can't tell me what to do because you're sinning at the same time. Well, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, I was thinking about like support groups. If you're in like an AA or something like that, you help each other to resist the temptation of doing alcohol or doing drugs. You help each other with that. And I think that's the same thing when it comes to helping someone with a sin. Saying, you know what, I sin just like you. Can we help each other to resist the temptation? Can we help each other to reach heaven by resisting these temptations? So, and, you know, I know that's a touchy conversation that we have with some, we can have with people, but I think if we approach it where we're helping each other instead of just hammering them for their sins, we say, can you help me with mine also? The conversation might go a little bit better, and you might both actually benefit from it. Our last characteristic, Jesus showed compassion. Jesus loved his people. He loved everyone. Hard to believe, but he loved everybody. And he showed compassion continuously throughout his time on earth, comforting Martha and Mary after after the death of Lazarus, the healing miracles that he performed throughout the Gospels. And even when he's hanging on the cross in his own pain, welcoming the good thief into paradise. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Imagine how that thief felt, because he was going to die, and he knew that he did wrong, but he also knew that he was going to be with Jesus in paradise. Can you imagine how he felt in his last hour or two of life, knowing that he was going to be in paradise with Jesus? For this segment, I'm going to talk about Jesus, Mary, and John. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now, we talk a lot about God seeing his son die. And that was hard for God because he could have stopped it. He definitely could have stopped it. But Mary also saw her son die. Mary witnessed the crowning of thorns. She witnessed getting beat. She witnessed him getting spit on. She witnessed him getting the nails put into his body. She witnessed her son dying. I couldn't imagine that as a parent, especially that style of death. John, who was probably Jesus' best friend, or at least one of his best friends, also witnessed his friend dying. And Jesus brought those two together while he was hanging on the cross. He showed compassion for his mother and John, who he knew were suffering. He brought them together as he was dying on the cross. So even in his suffering, Jesus put others ahead of himself. And I think when we try to show compassion, not one of my strengths. I will tell you that up front. When we were doing that spiritual gift survey, I was in the negatives in compassion and that's something I really need help with, and I need help from God with. One of the things I think we get caught on is that everybody is suffering and struggling because they want to be for some reason, or they make these choices. Yeah, people do make bad choices, and the consequences can bring them into suffering and into struggles, but I don't think anybody plans to get there in their lives. Nobody plans to be homeless in their lives, or nobody plans on being an addict in their lives, or no one plans on ending up in these bad situations. Choices put them there, but nobody wants to end up there. And when we have an opportunity to help someone, instead of saying, oh, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, because maybe they can't, we need to be there for them and take those opportunities to help them, because you know who would? Jesus. And who are we supposed to be imitating? Jesus. In conclusion, Peter reminds us, finally, all of you be like-minded. Be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, and humble. Jesus definitely set that example for us throughout his life here on earth. As we think about what we say each day, because James reminds us that our tongue is a powerful thing. James reminds us that basically we glorify God and then we curse men with our tongue, and our tongue can be very divisive. We need to ask for wisdom when speaking with others. Help me, Lord, to say the right thing. Help me to know to gain their trust. What can I do to help them to come to you? Pray for patience and understanding. Strive to be compassionate. And finally, pray that our conversations will glorify our Heavenly Father and help others to come to Him. You know, we are to be imitators of Christ in our actions and our words. And as we go throughout our week, let's pray that the words that come out of our mouth may please our Heavenly Father and help further His kingdom on earth. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to gather together to worship you. We thank you, Jesus, for the example that you set on earth of being compassionate, being honest, and being able to understand people. And we pray, Lord, that we may do a better job with those items in our own lives. Help us, Lord, to live our lives full of integrity. Help us to take advantage of opportunities that you present to us to speak to others about our faith, to help others in need, and help us, Lord, to have the wisdom we need to serve you and to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. If any of us here need the prayers of the church, or if any of us would like to join God's kingdom and be baptized today, the water is ready. You can come forward as we sing.